Blog Talk Radio.
Is brought to you by the Appleseed Project, which is the sole project of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. And what is the Revolutionary War Veterans Association? What does the RWVA do? Because I told you before that the first time that I heard about it, I thought it was some reenacting group, something like that, or just a bunch of guys getting together and wearing Revolutionary War costumes and talking about being in the Revolutionary War or something like that. I didn't understand the premise by any means at first. And I told you when I first started reading the page from Shotgun News that I thought that Fred was absolutely Looney Tunes. You know, I thought he was ranting and raving with a huge page of small print, and I got aggravated because I thought, why is he going on about this Revolutionary War stuff? That was 200 plus years ago. It's old, it's dusty, it's moldy, it's got those big baggy sleeves and the frilly cuffs. Why? And then I realized there was a good reason behind it. It's because without those guys, there wouldn't have been an American nation as it is today. And without those guys, we would not have our Constitution. We wouldn't have by any means, any type of the life that we're living now. Would we be speaking with a British accent? I doubt it, because that was gone pretty much by 200 years ago. I mean, you had the folks from England saying that they were having a hard time understanding the folks in Boston. So I don't think we would have a British accent, but we would not have the nation that we have today, folks. And that's the whole point of the program of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, is to honor those folks who stood together on April 19, 1775, who stood together in ranks in order to safeguard the freedoms and liberties that they had established for themselves. And how do we honor someone? How are we going to honor those folks? How are we going to even up the score? How are we going to pay them back? How are we going to make it right between us, between the current Americans and the folks who started up? How are we going to pay that debt? Because we owe them a huge debt. How are we going to make it right? And the answer is we can never fully repay the debt. It's going to be forever will be an account that's due. But what we can do is to pay the interest on that debt by remembering those folks and remembering the ideas that they sought to provide for the nation. And we do that every weekend of the year, somewhere within reasonable driving distance of you in the United States, in the continental United States. And we're expanding to the Alaska and Hawaii states. But every weekend, within a reasonable driving distance of you, will be an Appleseed Rifle Marksmanship Weekend, a two-day course which provides Americans with the absolute best fundamentals of rifle marksmanship program in the United States today, the absolute best. We have been working hard at this, and we have been maintaining strict standards for our instructors and for our events. We take great pride in this, and our instructors, by the time they make it to full instructor to a red hat, they have in many cases 60, 70, 80, 100 hours of instruction behind them. And they're some of the best instructors in the nation at this. We have this program down pat, and it's an excellent program. It's a two-day program provided by the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, which is a nationwide grassroots, not-for-profit organization run by volunteers. We have well over 1,000 volunteers across the nation now, instructors, and we are holding events in every state across the continental United States. And like I said, somewhere, each weekend, somewhere within a reasonable driving distance is an Appleseed Rifle Marksmanship event. And you want to find out how to get to it, here's what you do. You go to rwva.org. That's our homepage. On the page, there's a list of tabs across the top. The second from the left says Appleseed. If you put your cursor on that, you'll get a drop-down menu. On the drop-down menu, select Schedule. And that'll take you to a page which has a map of the United States on it. If you put your cursor on the state where you wish to attend and click on it, that'll open up an additional window with a listing of the events in that specific state. If you'd like to see the events that are going on all across the nation, there's a hot link embedded in the text above the map. You click on that and you'll get a listing of the events across the United States. Now, when you're looking at this, the listing of the events, don't look at it with the idea of, my, wouldn't this be something nice to do? Look at it with the intent of attending an event. You can think of things that you would like to do endlessly. You can think of things as, wouldn't this be nice to do someday, endlessly. But making the decision to attend an event is going to be a life-changing decision for you. I honestly believe that, and it's not just me. There are hundreds of other folks who believe the exact same thing as I do. And when I say this is going to be a life-changing event, I don't mean that this isn't some kind of a cult. This isn't some kind of a strange phenomenon. What it is you'll be attending an event where people are going to talk to you about shouldering your part of the responsibility for safeguarding the freedoms and rights that living in this nation affords you. And and then you're going to make a decision to either do so or not do so. And those folks who make the decision to do so, and like I said, it's a life-changing event. All right. Once you've selected the location you'd like to attend, there's two hot links to the right. One says information. Now, that will give you the information for that specific event on that specific date. It'll give you the where the event's going to be held, who to contact for more information, the folks hosting the event, etc. And then right under that is another hot link that says register, and that's where you can register for the event online. If you click on that link, it'll take you to our third-party software, and that is the Eventbrite company that handles our registration. And you can pre-register there, and that'll do two things. One, it'll ensure that you have a place on the line at the event that you wish to attend. And events do sell out. They sell out on a fairly regular basis. And you don't want to go through the trouble of selecting an event, taking the time to go there, and then find out that you can't lay your rifle on the line. All right? That's no good. It also helps us know how much gear to send and how many instructors to send. We like to make sure that we have a good ratio of instructors to students. And there have been occasions where the event has sold out, but we have obtained additional line either at that same range or by going to another range nearby and securing that another range for the folks. But we're not going to know to do that if you haven't pre-registered. All right? So please, if you're deciding to go to an event, please pre-register for it. Now, let me tell you another thing that this does. You pre-register for your event, and on that same page, you have the ability to sign up for a membership in the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. I believe it's still $20 for a one-year membership. Now, if you take your paid receipt for the Appleseed and your paid receipt for the RWVA membership, and you go to the event, and at the event, you shoot, and you shoot well, but you don't shoot to rifleman standards, which is 210 or above on the AQT. And you're not satisfied with not making it, then you can take the RWVA membership and the paid receipt for your attendance to the shoot boss. He'll enroll you into the Rifleman's Opportunity program. And that means you'll be able to shoot, attend any of the Appleseed events anywhere in the nation free for 1 year or until you shoot to rifleman standards. Now, it's not going to take you a year to shoot to rifleman standards. But you'll be eligible to return at no charge for a year. And, of course, the goal is to get you to shoot to rifleman standards, 210 or above on the AQT, or a score of 200 at the actual distance AQT. And when you do that, to talk you into becoming an Appleseed instructor, to accepting the hat and becoming an instructor. Information, knowledge is worthless unless it's passed on. And that's the duty of each and every one of us, to pass on our knowledge and to pass on the skills and techniques that we understand as far as shooting, pass on the skills and techniques for shooting, which is an American heritage, to the rest of the Americans. All right. I'd like to welcome everybody that is in the chat room. I thank you guys for coming in. Those folks that are in the chat room that are listed as guests, I don't think that the guest can comment on there. But listen, if you would like to make comments in the chat, it only takes a few moments to register for an account at Blog Talk. And they're not going to dig in your business. Really, all they're trying to do is to make sure that you're not a scammer, spammer, or a scammer. They're trying to make sure that you're not a spammer. And So they're just going to ask you for a just a couple of questions and get you to do the type in what you see thing, and then you'll have an account at Blog Talk, and then you can go into the chat room and ask questions, etc., make comments. You can also favorite the Rifleman Radio Show and follow us, and that helps us with our ratings and with promotions. So make sure that you take a moment to do that, and that is to register for an account at Blog Talk. All right. I'm looking at the chat room now. Looks like the chat is, I don't know if it's trying to bump folks, but it's giving the reconnecting thing on there. All right. I would like for the folks, and we do this every week, I'd like for the folks who have somebody in their crew that they would like to thank, I would like for them to call into the show and give those folks the thanks. We'll be glad to take your calls, 347-308-8790. We'll take your call so that you can tell the folks on your cruise, your local cruise, thanks, and that you appreciate the stuff that they're doing for the program. If you have anybody, if you have a new Red Hat, any person that's passing their PC, somebody that shot through Rifleman standards, etc., anybody like that, then give us a call, 347-308-8790, and we will be glad to take your call so that you can thank them on the air. There's a lot of folks in the program that are doing a lot of great work, and everybody knows that all the rest of the folks in the program, they all know that everybody's doing this out of the goodness of their heart, that nobody's getting paid to do this, and everybody's expected to do their part. But that doesn't mean that telling somebody thank you isn't welcomed by that person. So if you'd like to call in and tell anybody on your local cruise thank you, then this is the time at the beginning of the show that we give you to do this, because I want you guys to call in. I want you to get in the habit of calling in and thanking folks on the air. And I want to thank today, I want to thank Mark in New York. He's the state coordinator there. I want to thank him for the tremendous work that he's been doing there in New York. He's an absolutely fantastic person. Now, the whole New York crew is great. Let me say that, too, right off the bat, because I always hate thanking just one person in an outfit, because generally the whole crew in every state is a group of hard-working folks. But I can't thank everybody all the time. But I will thank Mark in New York for the great work that he's done. And I was just up there this summer and worked with him at a shoot. And I'm sending in the paperwork right now for him to get his full instructor status, to get his red hat. He's done all the work. He's good to go. And I want to congratulate him on that and tell him how much I appreciate his hard work. And the rest of the crew in New York is also, as I said, a bunch of great guys. Josie Wells, Sergeant Rock, B9, everybody there. It's a fantastic crew, and they're doing a great job, and my thanks to them. But all of the New York crew, if you guys will send your thanks to or your congratulations to Mark, the state coordinator there in New York, then I'm sure he'll appreciate that. For the rest of you guys, give me a call at 347-308-8790. So that you can give your local guys a thank you there. And while we're waiting for this, and don't just think about calling in, guys. Everyone is sitting there right there next to a phone. I bet there's not one in 200 of you guys that or listening to me on some remote fashion and on a riverboat raft or anything else. You're sitting right there with a phone. So grab your phone, call in, and say thanks to one of your crew. Let them know how hard they're working, how much you appreciate it, because they may not know. I've developed a terrible habit of just thinking that if I've thought about what a great shoot boss instructor X is, then he knows. He has ESPs, and he knows exactly what I'm thinking, what a great guy is. And that's not good, because he doesn't know, she doesn't know, unless I tell them. While we're doing that, I'd like you guys to, I wanted to let you know that I got a hold of Dr. Fisher, David Hackett Fisher, the author of Paul Revere's Rod. That's our textbook for the program. I've been trying to contact him for quite a while, but I thought that maybe he was dodging me for some reason. I thought maybe that he was afraid to answer the call or come back on, because it might be Fred trying to get him to admit that it was the British regulars who had fired the first shot at Lexington Green. For those of you who had listened to that show, I'm sure you guys remember that Fred was not going to let him off the hook until he admitted that it was the British regulars who had fired the first shot. It wasn't that we didn't know. We knew who it was. It was those British regulars. Well, anyway, he wasn't dodging me. What happened was he'd gotten very sick. He'd managed to get a tick bite, and the tick transferred one of the New England tick diseases to him, which was much like Lyme disease. And he teetered back and forth for several weeks, right on the verge of leaving us. He's a lot better now. And I spoke to him for quite a while, but he was still very ill. And so, for those of you that would like to remember him in your prayers, please do so. I'm not going to give out his email again, because if you have it, there's no problem with you sending him a get well email, and because he gave it to everybody when he was on the show last time. If you have it, no problem sending him a get well email. Just don't want to overload him with a bunch of emails right now, because he was very sick. He was still very sick, but he has agreed to come back on the show. I told him I'd call him in about a week or so to schedule it, and imagine it'll probably end up being in September, because, like I said, he was very, very sick during that time period. So hopefully his health will continue to improve, and then he'll come on the show in September at some point to speak about Washington's Crossing, his book, fantastic book. And for those of you who are interested in that time period, which to me that is where, and I'm not talking about philosophically, I'm talking about actually, that the American Revolutionary War was won, was right at that point, because it could certainly have been lost very easily there. And instead, we won. We inexplicably, we won. And he goes over the details of the battles of Trenton and Princeton in great detail, just as he did the events at Lexington and Concord and Battle Road in Paul Revere's Rod. He treats the events of the battles of Princeton and Trenton in the same detail. So it's a wonderful book, and I highly recommend it. And I also spoke to him about coming back on maybe in October or November again to speak about his other one of the other books that he's written that I find very, very interesting, which is Price's book, Price revolutions, and I think that's a very relevant book. So I'm going to try and get him to come back on again sometime after September to speak about that one. But please remember him, and remember him in your prayers. And if you have his email, go ahead and send him a get well email. Larry Pratt, the director there at Gun Owners of America, is coming on the show at the end of the month also. Now, somehow I had a miscommunication with one of his staff members, and the show is listed to be on the 31st, on August 31st, which is a Tuesday. And when I was looking at my book, I didn't realize that it was that I don't do the show on Tuesdays anymore, that I don't do it on Thursdays, and I said, okay. But I'll contact him and see if he can move it to Thursday. If not, we may just run the show over to Tuesday on the 31st, because Mr. Pratt's going to come on the show to talk about the duty, the responsibility of individual gun owners in securing and safeguarding their rights and freedoms. The same thing that I tell you every week, that it's not up to somebody else. Everybody always assumes that somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to lock the door. Somebody else is going to pick up that bottle in the road. Somebody else is going to make sure that my rights and my freedoms are safeguarded. And that's a very, very dangerous idea to have in your head, because as we've seen, that's not always the case, and it would be very easy for things to go wrong that way. It's the duty of each and every one of us to make sure that we are participating, that we have shouldered individually the responsibility for safeguarding our rights and freedoms. All right. I can't see. I mean, I can see into the chat, but and I don't think it has anything to do with you guys. I think that I just got a note on my screen saying that that there was a problem with the satellite. I believe with my individual satellite, not with the server for the server for Blog Talk. If that's the case, if there's some problem or something, if the call screener would let me know. But I don't see it listed as a problem. But I can't see into the chat right now. I mean, I can see it, but it's just a frozen screen. So I imagine it'll. Hopefully, this will take care of itself. And if you guys are trying to call in and I'm not answering you, then that's going to be what the problem is too. Is that the satellite on my side is down. So whenever I do the show, the way I do the show is I do it with a computer that I'm used to manipulate. The switchboard and the chat and the show page, etc. And then at the same time, I'm speaking on a telephone just because of the fact that I could do it on the computer by one of the voice over internet protocols. But because I have to do everything by satellite instead of an actual hard landline, that's what I'm always worried about, is that there could be some type of a satellite glitch that would remove my voice. So I'm, as far as I know, I'm talking here blind. I'm assuming you guys can still hear me. if you're calling in, just tell somebody thanks. Then don't think that I'm not answering because I'm not putting you on. It's just because. If you're calling in, that the studio is probably frozen along at the same time as the chat. All right, I'd like to remind you guys that the Corona 210 is coming up, and Bob 210 and the rest of the Californians out there are probably going to need a hand. So try and put put that on your to-do list, which is either to attend or to help out there if they need it, or to make sure that you're helping to promote the event. They put a lot of work into setting this up, and I'm going to try my hardest to go also, because that's one of the places that I haven't been yet, is out to California to meet with the crews out there. I've had a couple of chances come up to do it, but I just have not been able to go to California to do an event out there yet. I think there were three different times I was planning on doing it, and each of the times I had to call that off to do an event locally under the Texas banner. But I'm still very actively seeking to travel out to California to meet the crews out there. And then, of course, everywhere else. I wish that I had come upon Appleseed 25 years ago when I was still a young man and single, so that I could just stay on the road and travel from event to event every weekend for a year or two, and meet all of the Appleseed crews across the nation, meet all of the folks who attend across the nation. I can't think of a better way to spend a year than to be constantly in motion and traveling from event to event. I mean, I think that would be absolutely a fantastic way to spend a year of life. But but now at this time in my life, I'm not able to. But I think that if you're a young man and you are in that position where you could travel, unencumbered, then I think that would be a fantastic way to spend a year of your life, traveling from event to event and learning from each of the fantastic instructors and shoot bosses that we have across the nation, which is one of the things that I would really look forward to, because every time I go to an event, every time I listen to an instructor speak, and I'm talking about either from the green hat down to an IIT one, every single time I listen to one of them speak, I learn something. I learn something. And every time I see a better way to give a part of the instruction, I immediately steal it and replace whatever section it is in my show with the stolen section from the instructor. And listen, if you're an instructor worth your salt, then that's what you're doing too. Every time you go to an event, you are always, and that's one of the things that as an instructor you're supposed to be doing, and that is wherever the students are, that's where you are. Wherever the instruction is going on, that's where you are. You never hang back. You never sit back behind the lines in groups chit-chatting or wool gathering. You're always right there where the instruction is for that specific reason, so that you can be learning from each and every instructor that's there. And like I said, I don't care if you're a master instructor or a shoot boss or senior instructor. You can learn from the most brand new IIT, and that's one of my favorite places to learn, because either guys are just coming to the program and they're saying, and they're getting it, and they're thinking up new ways to explain sling use or natural point of aim or new ways to explain to illustrate the six steps to firing the shot or inches, minutes, clicks, etc. And you can really learn a lot, and that's where you want to be, is right there listening to each and every instructor giving their part of the spiel, doing their part of the show, so you can be ready to learn and you can be ready to steal a good section of it in order to build your own show with that. And that's certainly what I encourage everyone to do. I know this isn't really Appleseed, but I wanted to tell you that I'm constantly reading, and one of the books, and one of the reasons that I love to go to the library is because, number one, that's where the books I want to read are, but mainly it's not because the books that I want to read are there. That's why I go. But the best part about going to the library is finding the books that you didn't know were there. All right? That is the icing on the cake for going to the library. And you can go and you can find a book that you weren't planning on reading and adding it to your reading list and reading it. Your understanding of the world is increased. One of the books that I recently read was about the 1972 Olympics. And if your memory goes back there, then you remember that was the games that were held in Munich. And at the time that those games were held, there was there were Palestinian terrorists which took hostages, and they killed some of the Olympic athletes there. And by the end of it, by the end of this, the hostage taking, there were I believe 11 athletes that had been killed. And, you know, at first glance, when you think about it, and I remember when it went on, I can remember it vaguely. I was 12 years old at the time, and I remember the events as they were being played out at the Munich Olympics. But I didn't understand really what was going on, and I've read about it since then, but the story has taken many years for it to come out as clearly as it has, and it was a very sad disaster there. And let's see, after I read the book, there was a movie, a documentary that came out that I saw just recently called One Day in September, and it was about the 72 Olympics. And it's just very, very, very sad, and the way it was handled, the way the hostage situations were handled, were disastrous. The way the political situation was handled was disastrous. And for those of you that don't know, that aren't aware of it, the 72 Olympics were really the start of the special weapons and the SWAT, and that was 72 was. I believe it was within a week of the 72, of the hostage situation in the 72 Olympics, that GSG-9 was formed, and that's when the whole SWAT type philosophy began. All right. I have no way of knowing if I'm going out over the.
You're coming through just fine, Scout.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right, well, the call screener just let me know that that I was going out over the air, because I started to be getting very suspicious that I'd lost the link somehow that the servers may have shut down, but he says that he says we're still good. But listen, if you and listen, Call Screener, if you can see the switchboard, if there are some calls, if there are folks that are calling that want to speak, then go ahead and break in and let me know. We'll bring them in the air. I just can't see it to bring them on. And then if there's somebody that has a question in the chat or something, be sure and let me know that too. Just give me a whisper in my ear, and we can either answer the question or bring them on, et cetera, whatever we need to do.
We'll put them right through, Scout.
All right, and remember, guys, that this is the I don't want to have to tell you guys. I don't want to have to hammer you to call in and tell your hardworking local crew guys thanks. So be sure and do that yourselves at the beginning of the show. We also want to make sure that we thank the folks, and I'll let I'm sure that the Call Screener will put them into the chat room, but thank the folks that that are associated with the show, and not thank them, but to help them with their businesses. If you're starting a commercial venture and you are a RWVA member, then we want to make sure that we're helping you as much as we can. Now, we're not getting money for this, so I don't want the Blog Talk folks to get excited about this. We're just mentioning them on the air so that as a fellow RWVA member, if you need some type of a product or service that one of our members is putting out, then you can help them by obtaining that that product from them or using their services. And we've got several folks that are friends of the show. One is the band Poker's Face. They've loaned us the music that we usually use for the show. They're a great band, and they are one of the few bands I know that that have a conservative / libertarian type view to their music, and they have helped out the RWVA many times, and they're always willing to help. We've got Blue Feather Soap that is one of the New Mexico instructors, Blue Feather, and they make some handmade soap there that's just out of this world. And every time you buy soap from them, you put gas in their car that allows them to drive to the next New Mexico, North Texas, Southern Colorado, et cetera, Appleseed event, and instruct there. So Blue Feather Soap, if you can Google that, or if you're looking at the chat, then you'll be able to see it in the chat room. You'll be able to see the listing there. I believe there's another New Mexico instructor there that is selling long-term storage food. So if you need some storable food, then you can get it from him. Look in the chat room and for the address for that. And next time we're on the air, I'll mention the address out across the air. All right. Make sure that you guys are planning for your April events right now. Make sure that you're setting your April 2012 events in stone now. And allocating the resources for each of them, making sure that you have the crew members to run them, that you've already contacted the ranges, and the ranges are good to go. Even if the ranges can't put it on the books, you can usually get a verbal commitment from them, which is when we open up the books on date XYZ, you'll be at the first in the line for that weekend. If it's a DAR or some type of a private range, you can usually get a go-ahead fairly easy for that. Get your 2012 events locked down now for the April 19th weekend. That's our signature weekend. And we'd like to get them locked down as soon as possible. So please, each of the states, make sure that you are working on locking down your April 19th, 2012 weekends. There are millions, you know, I say this because I truly believe it. There are millions of folks across the United States that are, they're ready to go to an Appleseed event. And the only reason that they're not at one right now is because they don't know about it. If they knew about it, they would be looking at the schedule to sign up right now. So how are we going to let them know about it? How are they going to find out that we're here so that they can come and attend an event? That's one of the largest problems that we face as an organization, and that's getting the word out. And this is another case where everyone thinks that the other person is doing it, and they're thinking, well, certainly, I don't need to do this because I'm sure that so-and-so is doing it, or, well, I'm going to be shoebossing the event, so I've done my part. I'm getting the all the admin stuff together. I'm getting the porta cans and all the targets, and I'm making sure that the range is done, et cetera. So I'm doing that part. So somebody else, I'm sure, is going to do the rest of it. Well, unless you allocate it to somebody, unless you delegate it, then there's a good chance that it's not getting done. And if it's not getting done, then people are not able to find out that we're here, which is, and that we are the folks that they want to become involved with. So promotions is one of the number one places that we have to really work on. And I'm hoping that everybody listening tonight will make a commitment to spend, and every time I tell you guys this, I'm telling you that it's not something that you're going to have to devote, unless you want to, that you're going to have to devote a huge amount of time to. If you can just devote 5 minutes a week to it, 20 minutes a month, that would give us a tremendous jump in attendance. Just 5 minutes a week. I guarantee you that if all of the folks on the that were on the forum, and I know that this is all theoretical and hypothetical, but I'm just telling you that if all of the folks on the forum were to give 5 minutes a week, then we would end up with almost 1,000 hours a month at the end of this time. And that's a tremendous amount of promotions time. But even if all of the people on the forum don't do it, it's still going to have to get done. So who's going to do it? Well, it's going to have to be us. It's going to have to be the folks listening. It's going to have to be the shoot bosses, the instructors, the members. We're going to have to do it. And it's not a daunting job. It's actually one that's very easily done. But you have to sit down and do it. You can't just think about doing it, like I was telling you earlier, like I think about telling somebody they did a good job. You have to actually sit down and do it. You have to actually sit down and write a quick email, or you have to actually put up a flyer, or you have to actually call in to a radio show and mention it on the radio show. And it doesn't take that long. One of the things that you can do is, and I always push, well, let me back this up. One of the first things that you can do is use the most prevalent, the most successful way we have of promoting the program, which is the low-tech, high-yield method of word of mouth. And that's the way that the world runs. All businesses run on this. All organizations run on this. And that's word of mouth. At the bottom line, that's where the majority of the business is coming from. And that is where a trusted friend or relative tell you about something, and you decide to utilize that service or attend that event because of them, because you trust them, and they wouldn't steer you wrong. And that's who you are. You are that trusted friend or relative. And what you are going to have to do is talk to your friends, your coworkers, to your family members, and get them to attend an event. And why? Because we need money? No, that's not the case. It's because if we're an organization that is put together in order to be a huge Paul Revere wake-up machine, if we're not waking up folks, then we're not doing our job. If we're not waking folks up, then what are we doing? Then what good are we doing? If your numbers aren't growing at a substantial rate, then you're not really fulfilling the mission of the program. You know, it's great to have a crew, and this is easy, the easy thing to fall into. Great to have a crew that goes to a certain range on the Appleseed weekends, and it's all the regulars there, right? It's the same instructors, the same attendees, and stuff like that, and they're all. It becomes more of a social club. But that is not fulfilling the mission, all right, because all of those people there have already heard the word. What you're trying to do is reach new people, bring new people into the program, spread the word, spread the message, so that we're continuing to wake up individuals across the nation, that we're continuing to grow. Because information, us having the information is great. Us knowing the problems that our nation faces is great. But unless we tell somebody else and get them on board to help fix it, then that's not so great, all right? Because then it's still just us. Now, you can do this, as I said, you can do this by word of mouth, by talking to, start off with you inside your home. Get your wife, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father. Go next door. Get your brother, your sister, your nephews and nieces. Get them to come, especially the youth, because there's a particular problem with the youth in America. You know, when I was a kid, I shot a rifle, and most of the folks I knew shot rifles, and girls included, and one lived rurally, but still everyone there, it was very common for everyone there to be familiar with firearms and rifle marksmanship. Now, today, I still live rurally. But here's the difference. The kids that are out here who live rurally, a great many of them have never had a rifle in their hands. And the problem with that is that when those children reach maturity, when they reach voting age, never having held a rifle in their hands, never having fired a rifle, then they're not going to have, and they come, and it comes up to a vote on firearms laws. They're not going to have a dog in that hunt. They're not going to care one way or the other because it means nothing to them. So the children, American children, are particularly important for us to reach, and we do a great job of that. Every single weekend across the United States, we've got a ton of folks that are bringing their kids to events. and we are reaching them on the rifle range. And I've told you guys before that every single weekend we're changing lives. And the folks who are attending events, their lives are changing. And how do I know? Because I've talked to these kids who have come back, who have come to events, and then either contacted me by email or phone or letter, and have let me know that that the Appleseed Weekend was a life-changing event for them. And and that is a very, very important thing that we're doing, because it is important. And the children who have attended, what has happened is that normally when a father or tries to teach a son or daughter how to shoot, then you usually get the kind of defensive attitudes. The father will try and teach the kid and say, you've got to do it like this. And then the kid says, oh, well, I am doing it like that. And then the father has to say, no, you're not. And the kid has to say, yes, I am. I mean, they're just required to. They're required to say that. And so it can be a problem with them. When they come to an Appleseed event, we usually split the parents and the kids up. And the children then are being treated as young adults by the instructors. And a lot of times it's the first time that they've ever been treated in that fashion. And it makes a huge impression on them. It's the first time that they've ever been, as an individual, they've ever tried to learn something as an individual and been treated as a responsible young adult. And you can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their voices. And it is quite often a life-changing experience for them. So getting the children to come to an event is very, very important. And doing it by word of mouth is going to be one of the easiest ways that you do this, using your status as a trusted family member or friend and inviting someone to attend an event. Past that, we have, and I always push this, but we have radio. And radio is free, and every, just about every person in the United States has a local AM radio station. And the way you can find it is you can Google it. You can go to... you can Google radio station locator, and that will give you a the ability to. You can Google the radio station locator, and that will give you a search engine that will locate the local radio stations to them. Let you know what their format is, their programming, their contact information, etc. And then you can listen to that local station, and when they're talking about something that's relevant to Appleseed, then you can call in. You can get on the air very easily with stations that have up to a million listeners. You can get on the air pretty easily, unless it's for some hot button topic. And if it is, then I encourage you to stay away from it because it's never really a good place to. To insert yourself on the program is in some kind of a hot topic. But quite often, the AM stations will be talking about the Constitution or about the Founding Fathers. And that's your in, all right? You call in, you don't tell the call screener that you're calling to talk about Appleseed, because that's not what the radio guy is talking about. If you call in and say, look, I want to talk about Appleseed, they're just going to hang up the phone. They're not going to say anything else. They're just going to hang up. But if you say, I would like to talk about whatever the subject matter is, they're talking about the founders, and you say, yeah, look, I wanted to comment on one of the founders, on Thomas Jefferson or John Hancock or Samuel Adams. And then when you get on the air, you have to make that comment that you were talking about. You can't launch into an Apple Tea commercial because, once again, they've got a seven-second delay. They'll chop you off and they'll splice somebody else in. So make the comment about the founders or about the Constitution that you said you're going to make, and then segue in into Appleseed. I can't tell you exactly how to do it every time because each situation is going to be different. But use that comment to segue into, or invite the radio show host, invite them to attend an event. You can invite them to attend for free, that you'll comp them in, and they can bring their families and everything else. That's certainly worthwhile promotions dollar to spend. So use Google to find the radio station locator. Use a radio station locator to find your local stations. Find out what the program branding or the format is for the local stations. Listen to them. Get on the air and mention the Appleseed Project. Invite the radio show host to attend, or just let them know what we do. And that's a very easy way to get to up to a million folks. You can get up to a million folks very easily that way. I mean, you can get on the air on a station that has over a million listeners very easily. But and that's a good way to get on is by get on the air is through the AM radio by doing a call-in. Now, at the same time, once you've used the radio station locator, it will also give you their email addresses. And there's no reason that, even if you don't want to call in and talk to them, there is no reason that you guys can't email the radio station and say, listen, and give them the rundown of who we are and what we do. And if you need some copy for that, just contact any of the promotions folks, and they'll put you in contact with somebody that will write you an intro letter. You shoot that to the radio station and just ask them for a chance to come on the air. And I would hazard to say that in at least 2 out of 10 cases, they're going to say yes. The reason I know is because they usually do. The percentage is a lot higher when I ask them, but I've gotten really good at determining which stations are going to be more likely to listen to the Appleseed message. All right, but the guys, all of the guys that have been on the radio stations lately, that's what they've done. They've just sent a message to the radio station and say, hey, can we come on the air and talk about the program? And the guys say, oh, certainly. And one of the other ways now you can do this is by contacting the local TV stations and letting them know what you're doing and asking them to come out and take a look at it. And I certainly know this will work because I've gotten, 4 different television stations locally to come and take a look at the Texas program and do stories on it. I've gotten 2 of the local newspapers to come and do stories on the Appleseed Project. We had we had one at the, I guess, the middle of last year that did a front page. We're a front page above the crease story, and all it took was me just sending an email and introducing myself to the reporter and letting him know what we do. He came out, took pictures, wrote the story, great story, wrote the story, put it on the front page of the local newspaper, the 50,000, I believe it's above 50,000 actually, reader newspaper, and we got a front page cover on it. These things are fairly easy to do. And here's the bottom line. The most they can do is say no. They're not going to send somebody to your house or to break your legs. And they're not going to poke you in the eye with a sharp pencil if they don't want to do the story. They'll just say no thanks. And no harm, no foul. Move on to the next one and try again. all of these things, all of the emails that I've sent or the phone calls, etc., none of them, very seldom do they take over 5 minutes, unless I ran into somebody that was really excited about the news that I was giving them. And in those cases, yeah, it took a little bit longer because then I had an audience person that was asking me a lot of questions about the Appleseed Project and was wanting to know more, and I was more than happy to talk to them about it, and they were more than happy to eventually either come and do a newspaper report or to come and do a television show or to give us a radio interview. So these are all things that are very easy for you to do. If you have a local newspaper, and now this only works in the smaller papers. It may work in the larger ones, depending on what type of a writer you are. But the majority of the smaller circulation newspapers, we're talking maybe below, say, 10,000, they are usually very hungry and will accept pieces that you've written for the paper. You can do that. You can submit articles, and the folks are usually very happy to have those. And that's another great way for you to get into the one of the local papers. And if you don't know if they will or not, shoot them an email. Ask them if they'll take an article written by you. And if you don't want to write the article, no problem. We've got tons of guys that actually even do that professionally. They'll be glad to write something for you to submit to the local papers. Just talk to the promotions folks. Tell them what you have in mind. You have a local paper and that you'd like to submit like a 2,000 or 3,000 word or a 5,000 word story to the paper, and they'll write it for you. All you'll have to do is send it into the paper. And you won't even have to do that. If you'll just hand your leads on to the promotions people, I'm sure they'll be glad to do that themselves. Because once the copy is written, all they're going to have to do is cut and paste and send. So it's very easy to do this. So please take a few minutes to sit down and, like I said, just take 5 minutes, all right? That way, when you're looking at promotions, you don't have to say, oh, my gosh, this thing is it's too big for me to bite a piece off of and swallow it. Because all you're going to do is say, all right, I'm going to set the clock running now. In 5 minutes, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to do whatever else it is I need to do. But in that 5 minutes, you're going to send an email. You're going to make a phone call, whatever it is, in that 5 minutes. Then you're going to shut it down. Then you're going to be through for the week. You won't have to do it again for another week. Now, I'm only talking to the people that aren't doing anything. You guys that are already spending 30 minutes or an hour or 10 hours a week doing this. You know, I'm not telling you it's okay to slow down. I'm talking to the folks that aren't doing anything, trying to get them eased into it.
Hey, Scout, I got Mr. Local Promoter online too here. Jimmy from Lakeside, New Mexico would like to talk with you.
All right, then let's put him on.
All right, he's on.
All right, Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scout, what are you up to tonight?
Well, you're here. You see me. That's what I'm doing. What are you up to?
Yeah, this is Jimmy from out here in Lakewood. For folks who get lost where that is, we're north of Carlsbad and south of Artesia, New Mexico. So we're out here in the heart of nowhere.
Right, and the call screener said that you were working on local promotions there in New Mexico. So what have you been up to, or what have you found that's working for you guys?
Well, you know, I've got kind of an inside with our local radio station here, KSVP, and our newspaper occasionally helps us out. Our Chamber of Commerce, with a little bit of arm twisting, helps us out. But, you know, the one thing I wanted to talk about is we just had our Mayhill shoot this last weekend up here in New Mexico. And we've kind of, should I say, annexed part of the panhandle over around Lubbock over here in southeast New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim, 336 on the forums, has been coming over and helping us out at Carlsbad and Roswell, and he came over and helped us out at the Mayhill shoot. He's an IIT1. And he asked if he could, help with the history this time around, and I asked him what he was familiar with, and he said, I could, try the first strike. I tell you what, anybody out there, do not underestimate your new IITs at all, because Tim did a phenomenal job on doing the first strike. And then on Sunday, he did the wedding that never was. And again, just did a marvelous job. So, I just want to let the other instructors and shoot bosses and stuff out there know that, you get a new IIT that wants to try it, don't might coach them a little bit and find out what they know, but he did an absolutely awesome job, and plus put him in for promotion to IIT2.
Well, excellent. Well, congratulations to him. And so he was an IIT1, and he was able to do the story of that. How come he was able to do it so well?
I tell you what, ever since I'm trying to remember which shoot it was that he made his rifleman score, but he was at our first shoot that we did over in Leveland, Texas, back a few months ago. And he was shooting in the low 200s with a 40 to 45 mile an hour full value wind. So when the wind calmed down, it was a piece of cake for him. But he is he's 100% dedicated. He's been seventh stepping ever since the first Appleseed. He keeps in real regular contact with myself and OL up in Roswell. And in fact, we're getting ready to have a new shoot over there, a new deal. They worked on getting us a range. I think it's a police range over there in New Deal, just north of Lubbock, that October the 1st, we've got a new Appleseed going on over there, and the lines are already half full.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, one of the things that I always try and tell folks
is a fantastic asset.
Is that you can't, you can never discount how much one person can add to your crew, to the program. That's one of the reasons that that even if you only have a short line show up for an event, you can never discount that, because you never know where the next hard charger is going to come from, and it's just it's folks
you
like that.
You talk about a short line.
Running.
We had the shortest line of any Appleseed, I think, this last weekend. Trying to figure out, was talking to Milt and Margie and Jerry, and all of us were trying to figure out why the numbers were so low, and then it dawned on us that it was the first week of school. The fair had started, county fair had started over in Alamogordo, and, so it looked like everything was working against us for this weekend. But the one student that we had up there was a friend of mine that came over from Jal, New Mexico, and just paid absolute perfect attention. And on Sunday morning when we were doing refresher, Margie came up with the idea for the instructors to take the position and let Les, who was our shooter, go through and refresh the steady hole factors. And it was totally awesome. He didn't miss a thing. Everything from sling usage to hand position to dragging wood, pulling the trigger straight back, respiratory pause, steady hole factors, NPOA factors. I just wish we could have cloned him for, other shoots.
Yeah, definitely. because, as I said, you can never discount how much just one new hard charger can bring into your program. And the effect, and that's the effect of just one. Imagine if you had four or five guys like the fellow you're talking about. Imagine how quickly your
mm-hmm.
program would spark up and run. And that's what we're trying to do. We just want some of you guys to flip your switch to the on position and take a few minutes to contribute to promotions. Because we've got a tremendous amount of line out there available for us to use. And if all we did was add 50% onto our line, then we would be way ahead of the program. And that's not a hard thing to do. It's not hard at all, because there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of folks out there right now that are ready to come to an Appleseed event. They just don't know that it exists. So it's our job to make sure that they find out that it exists so that we can get them into the program, let them hear the message, so that they can then become message bearers for the program, and they can continue to spread the message at the same time. And it's the message that people want to spread. They just don't know that they are needed as message bearers.
Exactly. And you know, another great blessing in everything that we had on this one is Les's wife Abby is from that part of the neighborhood up there, and she called me Monday night because she was wrapped up in the history. And in fact, it was hilarious because she got upset because we had to go back to the line and stop talking history. And she called me Monday night and is going to be sending me some stuff that I just can't wait for it to get here. She's got relatives that were there on April the 19th, 1775, and she's got copies of letters from them and the rosters of the different units and everything that she's going to be sending me. So we've got a whole new, not only asset for the line and everything, but we also have a whole new asset for the history. So it just turned out to be an absolutely phenomenal weekend.
Well, that is fantastic. And we want to thank all of those folks that are out in New Mexico helping. I want to thank the folks that are in that are working hard in Kentucky, the folks that are in Minnesota and Idaho and Washington State and Indiana, Illinois, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, Nevada, all of the folks, Arizona, Colorado, all of the folks that are out there tonight carrying the message. And without them, without the volunteers in this program, there would be no program. And I know we're always asking folks to do stuff, but saving a nation is not an easy thing to do. Changing a tire or even painting the house. It is a huge event, and I always try to tell folks that certainly it would be an easier thing to get folks to rally behind if you could. If there were aliens in the streets and you could see them, and I'm talking about, you know, space aliens, not illegal aliens.
Yes, you're talking about our town up the street there, Roswell.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about if you had some type of an invader that you could see that was physically there, or if we had a situation like in World War II, where you knew exactly who the enemy was, you knew exactly what the solution to the problem was: crush the enemy, get them to surrender, and then all will be good. If we had something like that, then it would be a very easy fix. You could rally the nation behind it. They would spin up to a high percentile of participation, and it would get done. That's what we always have been. The problem is that we don't have a concrete, a hard and easily detectable enemy. Right now our enemy is apathy and laziness. And I always use the analogy of a bridge that is under attack by rust. Now, if you were carrying your family or you were watching a school bus of little kids go across a bridge and you saw a group of terrorists stop the bus on the bridge and start trying to take hold of it, and I imagine if you were an Appleseed rifleman and you had your rifle there, then you would take some type of an action. You would try and do whatever you could to help save that busload of kids. And you have a bridge that is being attacked by rust right now. And as sure as shooting, the bridge to collapse and fail.
Yes, it would.
The problem is that you don't see it. It's not something that is that everybody can point to and yell about. That you can't say, "All right, let's go. Get behind me. The bridge is rusting. Everyone, behind me. Follow me." Because they're going to say, okay, the bridge is rusting, but, we can get to it next week or the week after. It's just rust. And, it's just rust until the bridge falls. And like I said, the bridge is going to certainly fall. And the falling bridge is going to be no different. It's going to do the same damage to that school bus of kids as the terrorists are blowing it up with some type of a explosive device. But it's just not easily a discernible threat. So it's hard to get folks motivated and get them up and
understand, Scout. And speaking about motivation, unfortunately, I need to step out here for just a minute. I just noticed that the goats have figured out how to open the gate again.
All right. Well, thank you.
But
thanks
I just
for calling
to
in, Jimmy.
On, you know, our crew out here is, we just had a phenomenal weekend full of surprises. And like I said, we work hand in hand back and forth between West Texas and the Panhandle and New Mexico. So all folks got to do is let the New Mexico crews know that they need some help, and I'm sure some of us can get there.
Well, we want to thank you guys again because you guys do a great job there. We don't have a big crew up in the North Texas area, and New Mexico has always been a great friend to Texas by taking care of events and stuff there. So thank you very much. All right, we'll go take care of
that's
those guys.
I'm moving back home, and we're going to hopefully have a DAR down near Monahans. So,
okay, that sounds great. We'll go take care of those goats, and thanks again, Jay.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye. All right. And what he was saying was true. The one person, you get one person that you can flip the switch on, get them running at high speed, and they can change the whole program. But they can't do it. You can't flip this like afterburners. You can't have that one person be the only person that's doing it and continue to do it and continue to do it and continue to do it. You've got to have the person that's doing it. They've got to do it for a while, and then you've got to have somebody else coming into the program and flipping on their switch, flipping on their afterburners. That's the only way it's going to work. So be looking around. Try and finding the folks within your crew that have the skills, they have the promotional skills, and can take care of the promotions for you, because that's a very, very important job. Yeah, you can have the shoot bosses there. You can have the ranges lined up. But if you don't have the folks, then what are you doing? So make sure that you are constantly on top of your promotions game, that you're constantly pushing the program into new areas. And don't ever think that that there is an area that it won't work in. And remember, too, what I said about making alliances. I doubt that there is a DAR or SAR, Sons of the American Revolution, Daughters of the American Revolution program, that you contact that would not be willing to let you come and speak there. And that's one of the things that that we've been really pushing is the library apple seeds. Well, I'm more than certain that if you contact the local DAR, SAR groups, that they will allow you to do that, and they'll actually assist you in getting a big crew to attend. That's just one of the things that they do. And the missions for both of these are very similar, for Appleseed and for the Sons of the American Revolution and Daughters of the American Revolution. So make sure that you are that you're trying to build alliances with the different organizations that have similar missions. We have the here in Texas, and of course the Diva WOW organization is a national organization, but they started out here in Texas. We have the Diva WOW, which is the Women Outdoors Worldwide organization, and they are a fantastic group of women. They're the they're the salt of the earth. They're some of the best ladies that that you could have the honor and the opportunity of being around. And they are hard workers. When we put up a an event for these ladies, they fill it up. They fill it up. We don't do it. They do it. They fill it up for us. All we have to do is schedule it. And when we do that, and usually that's Lauren LeCran and her significant other, Andrew LeCran, they put up the events with the Diva WOW organization, and that's all they got to do. They get the event set up, and the Diva WOW organization will sell it out. If you have the opportunity to do that, why wouldn't you? And you can. All you have to do is contact Judy Rhodes at Diva WOW, and you just Google Diva WOW, D-I-V-A dash W-O-W, and it'll bring up the Diva Women Outdoors Worldwide organization. Shoot her an email and tell her you'd like to get an event going in wherever you are, because they're worldwide now, and they will be more than happy to help you set it up. Now, I don't know that they will be able to sell up an event in Minnesota or Rhode Island. I don't know where their membership lies. I know that here in Texas, they're already established, and they'll sell it out. But regardless, if you set up a women's only event or something and contact them and set up a women's only event, they will be more than happy to help you fill it up. And there are, I know of at least a dozen other women's shooting organizations that are the same thing. We're working with two or three other women's organizations, women's shooting organizations, and they have all, they get their membership to attend. So if you're working with another organization, if you're making an alliance and working with another organization that's already established, then they will get their members to attend. Instead of you having to go out and grab one or two guys at a time and get them on the line, you contact an organization that that maybe it's a shooting organization or a women's organization, and get them to do the promotions for you among their membership. And there you go. You've got you've already multiplied. You're using them as a force multiplier. And why wouldn't you do that? why wouldn't you use a force multiplier, use another organization to get their membership to attend rather than you having to beat the bushes? So put that on your list of things to do. During your five-minute time this week that you guys are all holding up your right hand and swearing that you're going to do, Google women's shooting organizations. You'll get thousands of returns on that. Find the women's shooting organization in whatever state you're in. Write up an email, just a very quick, polite email introducing yourself. Send it off to two or three of the organizations and see what comes back from it. And then you can set up a women's only shoot and get these organizations to fill the ranks for you. Now, I'm not saying it has to be a women's only organization. I'm just saying that that they do a really good job. Just like our female instructors do a great job of instructing and a great job, our female administrators do a great job of administrating. The women's only shooting group do a great job of getting their members out on the line. It can just as easily be a male group, all right? But I can tell you from much experience with male shooting groups that that sometimes that's a harder row to hoe. Nonetheless, anytime you use an established group as your ally in setting up a shoot, then you've already multiplied your force by several degrees. So make sure that you are using making alliances as part of your routine for promotions. The library seeds are fantastic, and we're getting a lot of information out that way, and we're getting it. I've been doing it in schools, and you can too. If you have kids in school, and even if you don't, you can still go and talk to the school and say, and we have the new school year coming. You can go and talk to the school and say, listen, I'd like to speak to whichever your classes that are working on United States history this year, and whenever they get to the American Revolutionary War period, I would like to speak to them about April 19, 1775. And I'm with a national not-for-profit organization. You can check us out here. And would you mind if I came in and gave a talk to the kids about the events of April 19, 1775? And this is one of those cases where I've never had anybody say no. So why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you go to somewhere that's a guaranteed yes? So make sure that you're using existing groups, making alliances with them, introducing yourself to them, letting them know what you're willing to do. We're starting to get a great deal of interaction with the law enforcement organizations. And why shouldn't we? Because our organization has been doing some fantastic work. The Law Enforcement Officers Shooting Free is another big pull for them. And there should be no reason why, if you take your 5 minutes, you select a small to mid-size sheriff's department local to you. So start out with your own county where you live and send them a note letting them know who we are, what we do, that we're not political, militia, anything like that, that we are simply the absolute best fundamental rifle marksmanship program in the United States today, and we would love to come to the local sheriff's department range and set up an event for them and to have them, to run all their officers through it at one time. We'll bring all the targets, all the gear. We'll bring all the instructors. All they have to do is schedule a date for it and provide the range, and you'll bring everybody in. Why wouldn't they say yes? The most they can do is say no, right? The most they can do is say no. And their chances are really good that they're going to say yes. I've spoken to all of the PD, sheriff's departments and stuff around here, and the main local ones are not big enough for that, but they've sent folks through in ones and twos, and they're very happy with the program, and that means that the law enforcement, their local law enforcement, is happy with Appleseed. They're happy with you, with Appleseed, and they get to know you, and they know who you are. They know you're good guys. You know you're a good group. They've been to the events, and they've listened to what you've had to say, and they know that you're not a domestic terrorist. They know that you're a good organization providing a valuable training situation for their folks. So make sure that you're contacting the local sheriff's office, police department, letting them know. During your 5 minutes, like I said, you type out or you write out the message that you're going to send to a sheriff's department or to a police department. And then you just save that in your documents. When your 5 minutes comes up next week, you pop that out. You put in the new address for the next county over or for the next PD over, and you send that off, all right? See how easy that is? And I told you before, if you don't have copy or you don't feel comfortable writing the copy for an introductory letter inviting your local PD or sheriff's department to an event, we will write it for you. We'll be more than happy to do it. I've got about at least a dozen different letters already written up for sheriff's department and police department. You can have any one of those. You can have anyone that the staff has that has already written up. The promotion staff already has written up and ready to go. There are the copies already ready. So don't let that stand between you and shooting an email off. If you want to send an email to homeschoolers, contact Scuzzy. Scuzzy's been single-handedly running the homeschooling program in Texas and for a good part of the rest of the United States. He'll provide you with a with copy that you can send to the homeschoolers. And while we're talking about homeschoolers, let's talk about that. The homeschoolers program is no longer an oddity. They're no longer a small group of strange folks schooling their kids at home. All right, they're mainstream now, and there are millions of them. And not only that, but they are, because of the very nature of homeschooling, that each person isn't trying to develop their own individual curriculum, etc. They have these tremendous networks that they use to speak to each other and get information back and forth. You tap into that, and you let them know what you're doing, and listen, the homeschoolers also seem to be a very fertile bunch of folks. They may have six or seven kids at once that they want to bring, all right? And this fulfills a lot of the requirements of homeschooling. So take your 5 minutes, Google homeschoolers in your state. It'll take you to a forum or to a contact page so that you can send an email, get copy from Scuzzy, who has already has it written out, and send an email to the homeschoolers inviting them to an event. If you're a shoot boss and you want to invite the homeschoolers to a certain event you're having, there's no reason that you can't send an event and invite a family and tell them that you'll comp them into the event. They won't have to pay anything. If they just show up, the parents and the kids show up, then they can shoot for free. All right? Most of the local crews will have a half dozen rifles available that you can actually lend out to them. It only takes a few minutes, guys, for you to flesh out your lines. And there are many, many ways to do this. The prepping and survival groups, they're no longer the tinfoil hat nuts that people would see them at 20 years ago. Prepping and survival groups are now mainstream, very mainstream. you can look on, I don't have the website right in front of me now, but if you'll Google prepping and survival websites or prepping and survival contact lists, etc., then you'll get, there's several very good sites that go state by state and allow you to post on the forums and say, hey, we're having an Appleseed Rifle Marksmanship event where we're going to teach you the fundamentals of rifle marksmanship, and it's going to be the most comprehensive and the least expensive training weekend that you will go to for rifle marksmanship. You can bet you're going to get some bites. You bet you're going to get some takers, all right? And then they are going to spread the word for you. They're going to become part of the word-of-mouth alliances that we're talking about. You're going to try and multiply your force by this. Yeah, I see one of the guys that says, in here, preppers are officially on a watch list via the FBI. Listen, I don't know that there are really any groups left that are not on the watch list by the FBI, but I'll give you a good way to counter that, and that is go down to your local FBI office there. I don't know if they'll let you in anymore. Used to you could walk in, but this was several years ago because I walked in and talked to them a couple of times before about it and got them to attend. I've had at least a dozen overt FBI agents who have attended, and I'm sure there were others that attended, but they just didn't say anything. But I've had at least a dozen who were overt. One of the easiest ones to identify was the guy who's wearing his FBI office T-shirt, and lo and behold, guess what, guys? Guess what the FBI folks thought? They thought this was a great organization. They thought that what we were doing was a great, that we were doing a great job of it, that we weren't rabble-rousers, that we weren't domestic terrorists. They thought we were doing a great job of teaching people to shoot safely and correctly. So walk up to or give a call or shoot a letter to the FBI folks. Invite them to attend your event. I did this several years ago, right when we first started. And I sent them a letter inviting them, and at that time nobody attended. And then when I started getting the television stations, when they started doing reports on Appleseed, I contacted them again. I go, hey, guys, I wanted to invite you guys to come out to attend an event again. I'm sure you guys are going to get, when these news stories come out, that you're going to start getting calls from people saying, hey, you better go check these guys out. And I wanted to give you the invitation right off the bat to come check us out. And they came out. They were happy with what they saw. All right? So don't have any fear of any of the law enforcement agencies coming out. The more law enforcement agents you get to attend, the better off you are. The better off you are. Don't look at law enforcement agencies as the protagonist. Look at them as an ally, all right? Look at them as an ally. They come out and they see what you're doing, and they see that you're a good guy and that what you're doing is the right thing for the nation, then they're going to be on your side. All right, they're going to be rooting for you, and if you're doing things, let me say this: if you're doing things that you're afraid the FBI will find out, then maybe you should think about that. Maybe you should worry about that, and worry about your involvement in things that you're worried about folks finding out about. Contact the law enforcement agencies, get them to attend, and if some of the agencies would like us to come and do a specific event for them, we'll be glad to do that. If they want us to come out to a range, we'll be glad to do that. Most of the armories in American cities will have a permanent staff of two or three folks that are manning the armory. You know, that's their permanent job, is to maintain the armory. That means that somebody's going to be there at the armory, and you can stop by. If you see some cars parked in the armory, your local armory, stop by, walk in, introduce yourself, give them the brochures, let them know what we do, that we will train the soldiers for free, program that if they want to devote a weekend to getting the absolute best fundamentals of rifle marksmanship program in the nation in front of them, then we'll do it. We'll send it. We'll gin up a big crew to go down and run an event for a whole company of folks for the whole weekend. We'll do it for free. And imagine that. You can get. You could be the person that gets the next big military event signed up for us, all right? And we need you to do that. You need to do that. Those guys that are down there at the armory and those soldiers that are getting ready to ship out and go to a foreign country and put their lives on the line, they need this instruction, all right? Even if they're not going to go anywhere, they still need it. We still owe it to them. So make sure that... make sure that you do that. I did this a few weeks ago. Now, I didn't do it probably in the safest way. What I did is I was traveling back from Houston, and there was a convoy on the road. And I took an Appleseed leaflet, and I wrote my telephone number, my cell phone number on it in big letters, I mean in big numbers, drove up next to the main convoy, the main Hummer there, rolled out my window, stuck it out the window, handed it to the guy, pointed to the telephone, and he called me. And we set up a meeting with his crew. And hopefully that's going to turn out to be of use to them. They were returning from a training practice. But like I said, I'm not going to advise you to drive up to next somebody on the freeway and hand them your number. You can do it just as easily by going to the local armory, and if nobody's there, put it in the mail slot. Get on the telephone and call them during the day, and then just tell them who you are and what you want to do. We want to come and we want to provide a for free weekend of shooting or a day of shooting, whatever it is, a half day of shooting, whatever they will accept. We will draw up a program, we'll design a program to fit their needs, and we will staff it with a huge group of great guys for free. How can they pass that up? All right? So make sure that you guys are, that you're thinking about these things. And I know it's easy. Your day is already filled up with stuff. You've already got a ton of stuff that you're, that is filling up your normal work day, right? Don't forget about your elevator speeches. Don't forget to go to Vistaprint or whoever you want to use. Shell out the $5 for however many it is, 500 business cards. All it has to be, it doesn't even have to have your name on there. You can just put Appleseed Project and put the website on there. And then if you want to put your number or something on there, you can. You can scribble it on there. But if you don't, at least you put something in their hand that will direct them to the website, to what we do. And you can carry 15 or 20 of those in your wallet without breaking a sweat over it, right? It may be hard to carry a bunch of flyers, but you can just pop the card out and say, here, give the website a look. See if you like what you see. If you do, contact us. Jot your phone number on there. If you like what you see, give me a call. I can help you set this up. I can make it happen. It's very easy to make this happen. All right, guys? It's very easy to do it. When I'm talking about 5 minutes, that's really all it takes. 5 minutes. Now, if you want to do more, you can get a lot more done if you do 10 minutes. You can do a ton more if you do 20. But just 5 minutes, you know, the time it takes to drink a soda, you can push the program very far ahead in your area by doing this. 5 minutes. That's all it's going to take to pop open the Yellow Pages or Google the number for your local armory and give them a call. Let them know what we're willing to do for them. 5 minutes to take to cut and paste the introduction letter to the law enforcement officers, to the sheriff's department, to the police department that we'll be glad to give you, so you won't even have to write it up. Cut and paste that, put it to email, bang, send it to the local law enforcement. The most they're going to say is no. And they may say, hey, great, we'd love to have you guys come in and do it for 15 of our officers. They may just say, look, we got two guys that are getting ready to take a SWAT course. This sounds like it'd be great for them. And I'll tell you that it is. And how do we know this? Because of folks that have gone on to SWAT from Appleseed, or folks that have gone to SWAT and then come to an Appleseed and said, man, I wish I would have taken this before I went to the SWAT course, or man, I wish I would have taken this course before I went to the Marine Sniper School or Army Sniper or whatever else sniper school. I wish I would have taken this. So 5 minutes, that's what it's going to take you. I challenge you guys, I challenge you to take 5 minutes. See, even put it on your stopwatch, put it on the clock, bang, do 5 minutes once a week this month, and then come back and tell me what happened. That's going to be 20 minutes in the space of 30 days. Listen, if you can't devote 20 minutes in the space of 30 days, and I'm talking about outside of doing an event, outside of doing an Appleseed, all right? The Appleseed is the cream of the crop. That's the icing. That's the whipped cream. The Appleseeds are the things we all look forward to. They're the fun things. They're the roller coasters, all right? I'm talking about outside of that. I'm talking about devoting 20 minutes in a 30-day period to promotions, and then coming back in 30 days, and I'll write this in my notes, 30 days from today, it'll be at the end of September, and telling me what it did for the program. Because if you even got one person to attend, then you were a success. It was a success. That's one person using any of the methods that I've spoken to you about in the last hour. Word of mouth, radio, television, newspaper, emails, telephone calls, any of those ways. If you get one person to attend only by using 20 minutes of your time, then you were a success, all right? Because there's a couple of thousand of you out there. So if a couple of a thousand of you take 20 minutes out of your month and you get 2,000 people to attend, then you've done an excellent job, all right? So at the end of September, I'm going to ask you guys about this. I'm going to bring it up every week because this is a very, very important part of the program that we are all sliding on, all right? That we are all sliding on. Even if you're doing 20 hours a month, you can do 21 hours and 5 minutes. All right, and I don't think I'm asking for too much from anybody. All right, if I am, then maybe you're in the wrong program, right? And you guys that are already doing the 21 hours or 22 hours, don't start yelling at me because you think I'm talking to you, because you know I'm not. All right, if you're doing your job and only you know whether you are or not, then don't yell at me for asking you to do more or by listening to what I'm saying and think that I'm berating you, because I'm not. I'm not berating anybody. I'm telling everybody thank you. But I'm also saying, see if you can't dig out another 5 minutes a week for this and send one email, one five-minute email a week, and at the end of 30 days, let me know what you think it did for you. What do you think it did for the program? All right, if anybody wants to give any quick last-minute thanks to any of their folks, our number is 347-308-8790. I'm sure the call screener will pop that in there, 347-308-8790. And we've got a few minutes left here. If somebody wants to call in and say thanks to any of their local crews. All right, and it doesn't have to be instructors. It can be part of the Apple Corps program. We have a tremendous Apple Corps program that is growing by leaps and bounds. And if any of you guys want to call in, if I see that Techris was in here a second ago, and he's still in. Techris, if you want to call in and tell anybody, any of the Apple Corps folks, thanks, and let them know how they can continue to get involved. We've got just a few minutes that we'd be glad to take your call on that. We have places for everybody. If you don't want to instruct, you don't have to instruct. You don't want to tell the story, you don't have to tell the story. Although it's hard for me to understand because, like I said, that's the icing part of it. That's the place where you get to shine and get up there and tell the story. And I don't care how many times I've told the story, I love telling the story. I don't care how many times I've heard it, I love hearing the story. I'll travel 100 miles to get to an event so I can hear somebody tell the story because I love it. Everybody has a different story. I've never heard the same story come out of the same mouth twice. I've never heard two people tell the same story. And every time I've heard it, with a few exceptions, it's been a tremendously passionate story. And why? Because the person didn't have to make up any passion. The story already holds that within it. The people who were the characters in the story already provided that for us. And a chance to hear the story, that's worth traveling 100 miles, 200 miles, 300 miles easily. All right. Chuck says he can't call in tonight. Well, then, all right. But you can make some time to call in next week. All right. Make some time, Techers, to call in next week to tell us about the Apple Corps folks, because I know that you've been doing a lot of work with them. And if you can't do that, then tap one of your Apple Corps folks to come on the show next week in the beginning of the show so they can talk about the Apple Corps program, what they're doing in it, and how everybody has a place in Apple Corps with their name on it if they want it. All right. We got another 4 minutes, so that's all you got. If you're going to try and call in, you got about 2 minutes now left to do that. But let me remind you that if you'll keep David Hackett Fisher, Dr. Fisher, in your prayers and pray for a speedy recovery and for him to have a full return of health. Like I said, when I spoke to him on the phone, he did not sound good. He obviously had the last couple of weeks had worn him out. He said the effects of the illness were very similar to malaria, and it was very, very rough on him. And listen, you guys that are living, and I'm not even going to say that you don't even have to live in rural anymore. All right, the deer concentrations have grown everywhere. People in the cities now have deers all over their neighborhoods because nobody will get rid of them. Well, when that happens, when you have thousands of deer all in the same place, guess what else happens? They share ticks. They share diseases. And they're more than willing to not just share the diseases with each other, but to share diseases with you. So make sure that you're paying attention. If you live in these the high deer areas, because as I said, Dr. Hackett managed to get it's not Lyme disease. It's a there's a specific New England name for it for the disease that he has, but it is in the family of Lyme disease. And as I said, he teetered back and forth between the here and the not here for quite a while, and I'm sure he'll be glad to tell us about when he comes on in September. All right, I want to thank everybody that called in, and I would like to thank the folks in the chat room for the job they do. I want to thank the call screener, who is a faithful, hard worker, and he's been here almost since the beginning. All right, thank you all. God bless you. We'll see you this next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Time. And be sure and look on the forum for posts about upcoming shows. All right, thank you, everybody. Thank you. God bless you all, and good night.
Thank you.